You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from J-Bar M Barbecue. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Great time at J-Bar M in the Edo area, right across the street from downtown. We're a lot going on in downtown this weekend. Astros four-game series against the White Sox continues. Also, you have Fan Fest. Final Four Fan Fest going on down there as well. Giving away some tickets to Fan Fest. All you have to do is stop by our marketing table, register over there, and you could be going to Fan Fest over at George R. Brown Convention Center. All right, so Portnoy's in town. Dave Portnoy, Stool Presidente. Joe got in my ear during that break. He's like, we need to talk about this tweet that El Presidente just sent after he landed in Houston. I haven't taken a look at it yet, Joe George. What did he say about our very fair city?
I also just want to be a team player here and just remind people that if they go to Fan Fest on Sunday, they can hang out with Sean Mapes and Brian McDonald. They'll be broadcasting live from
What show
Fan
is
Fest.
That?
It's the Sunday Bullpen.
The Bullpen. Mm. Oh, okay.
I imagine Joe George promoting always shows other than ours. That's great.
Priority over team. Anything else.
Team. Yeah. It's not even my show.
Oh, well, that's
it's
amazing.
It's your invention. Yeah. It's your invention, just like Bad Take Boulevard is Andrew Carlson's invention.
Andrew and I will be at McIntyre's downtown tomorrow from 12 to 3. Dave Portnoy, he said, if I was mayor of Houston, the first thing I do is change the Texans back to the Houston Oilers. All-time great name and uniform. I don't care if the Titans own it, which I'm not sure if they do.
They do.
It belongs here in Houston. America is a better place with the Houston Oilers.
Wasn't there a second paragraph that said trade at least one, if not two, first-round picks to get the rights to that stuff back?
I don't see that here. Oh, I've heard that before, though.
Somewhere I've heard something like that, too. But
I think about the future of things. I'm a big-picture guy. I'm thinking about the next 100 years of football in the city as opposed to the next 10.
Well, we've talked about the fact that it's a travesty that every time you walk into whatever they call the rinky-dink stadium in Tennessee, that you have to sit there and see guys' retired numbers that had nothing to do with the city of Nashville or the state of Tennessee and had everything to do with the history of Houston football, and that's a travesty in itself. But when the Titans' alternate uniform is the uniform of the football team formerly with the address in Houston, Texas, it's sick. It's sickening. And the fact that now that, you know, the guy that had, all the cards in his back pocket is gone and his daughter, Amy Adams, I think it is running the show. I mean, I know you think you got one over the city of Houston, but the time has come to just give it up because no one believes for a second that that logo, those marks and those colors belong in Tennessee.
I love the whole color scheme, branding, all of that of the Houston Oilers. I love the old Derek. I love the red, white, and the love you blue. I love all of that. I love all of that for Houston football. I think eventually Cal McNair is going to, I think in a couple of years, Cal McNair is going to move to a direction where they're bringing back that color scheme, at least to an extent. They'll never get back the old Derek because that's trademark and owned by the Titans, like you mentioned. But I think they are going to bring back an H-Town blue when it's all said and done. I love all of the Oilers stuff. I know that I was joking around and said I would trade three first-rounders for it. I don't know if I want the Oilers associated with the McNairs, though. I don't know if I want the Oilers associated with the Houston Texans.
Really?
Yeah.
Being associated with the Adams family and Tennessee, or having it in Houston but having to deal with the fact that it's associated with the McNairs? But like I said, I think with Hannah involved, I have a little more confidence in the McNairs.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably worse in Tennessee, like being there. Like, I'll give you that. I just don't want that color scheme back and then still being called the Texans. Like, that's my biggest hang-up. Like, I don't want to be red, white, blue. Like, you're not – because to me, the old Derek's the thing. Like, you need to have the old Derek. You need to be called the Houston Oilers. And I understand that's never going to happen. It does make me a little bit sad because I would love to see
I think there's a price. And I don't think it has to be, like, draft pick related. But I think that the Adams could be bought. I think there's a price, and there should be a price involved. I just feel like there's too much – vindictive thought process involved in this from their side, that they just like having they got the last laugh when they skipped town and were able to take the team name and colors with them. And I thought that might end when Bud passed away, but obviously it's something in the family where they really kind of have that snickering little one up on Houston that they like. But I will never – I'm not going to say never. There has to be a price or a way, and I think at some point maybe the NFL gets involved and tries to broker it, because it would be pretty awesome to get that all that back for this city.
I don't even think the – I don't think the McNairs want it, if I'm being completely honest.
Well, they're
you.
Idiotic, like, if they don't want it.
Because they never made a ride, like a run for it. There's never been, like, negotiations from them buying that stuff back. I think that they want to kind of be disenfranchised from the Oilers. Now, I know they want to bring back H-Town Blue because it's going to sell merch. I don't think they want to be called the Oilers. I really don't. I think that they like the separation of church and state, because they've never even really talked about that, how they would like that, how they would want that.
Well, I think it's a mistake, because I think that we all know that what's old is new again. When it comes back, people flock to it and they love it. And I think the same way Carolina Blue is Carolina Blue, Love You Blue is always Houston and Houston Oiler Blue. And I think there's a place for it. And you're right. The color is one thing. And obviously people have inside sources as well. That, and Cal keeps hinting at uniforms and color changes. But I think it would really be – I think it would be great for the league. I think it would – but it would really be great for the city if you could get all of it back. But whatever steps you can take to get some of it back, I think, is a step in the right direction. I think I get that you're trying to create your own legacy with your own team and the name that you came – that you brought into the league. But at right. a certain point, don't turn a blind eye to what was the heyday of Houston professional football that everybody loves and looks back at fondly.
I think Amy Adams, though, would sell it.
I do
that's
too.
Why I don't think that they've ever really negotiated it. They've never really talked about it, because I think that Amy Adams does have a price. Like, why is she in love with having those jerseys in the rafters? And she could even keep those jerseys in the rafters. Like, that's not the thing. It's the Oilers branding and the logo, really, more than anything else. Because you can't sue for colors, but you can sue for the logo and the right. trademark of the name. I think Adams would absolutely sell that for the right number. I just don't think that the McNairs are really all that interested in that.
Well, I think they should explore it. If Cal's been, you know, hell bent on reimaging and talking
about
uniforms.
Don't you think it's too late, though? Like, I think that's something that you would have done whenever they started as an expansion.
I don't think you could have, because of at the time it was a different situation with the Adams family. I think that now you've distanced yourself enough from Bud and he's passed that I think that cooler heads prevail, and at a certain time you can have a reasonable conversation about it. I don't think it would have been a reasonable conversation when Houston got an expansion team, because I think that there's probably a little bitterness on their side to know Houston was getting another team.
Yeah. I mean, the Browns pulled it off whenever with the Ravens. Like, I think it can be done. I think it's weird to do it 20-something years into the existence of the organization. Anyways, Nick Caserio, how long is the runway for Nick Caserio? Because Hanno talked about the runway with D'Amico. There's many people in this city that feel some kinds of way about Nick Caserio. Some wanted Nick Caserio gone. Some don't like what Nick Caserio has done in his first couple of years. Cal McNair points to the fact that he's cleared out all the bad contracts. He's cleared up cap space. He's acquired draft picks. He's put the Texans now in a spot where they can try to execute their long-term plan. Listening to what Cal and Hannah had to say about it, it sounds like Nick has a long runway, and that wins isn't really the measuring stick for Nick Caserio and how long he's the Houston Texan general manager. How do you feel about that point of view from the McNairs, Hannah and Cal, towards their general manager?
I think it's interesting. I think they have to show support at this point. You're going into a new season. You've already committed to him for another year by not doing anything at the end of last year. You and I had the conversation, and at the time I said, look, if we're having the same conversations that we had at the end of this last season, at the end of next season, then it's fair to say that he is on a roastingly hot seat and he could be removed and I would have no problem with it. But I need to see more than a year and a half worth of drafts, and for all of his missteps, you know, he still has to, you know, he has to be able to settle in and have the opportunity to try to turn the thing around, because he was taking over a situation that wasn't even on solid ground. It was dug into a hole that Bill O'Brien put you in that was going to take some time to get out of. So I think that halfway into a six-year deal, if you haven't seen significant progress and you haven't seen things that lead you to believe that it's going in the right direction at the right rate of speed, then it's fair to say that you need a new general manager. But I didn't think it was right at that time at the end of last season. I do think at the end of next season, if we're still sitting here in the same rut, I think that, then Nick's seat should be hot regardless of wins and losses or how the McNairs want to look at it or publicly talk about it now. I think they'll be singing a different song if you see a whole lot of failure leading up to the end of next season.
I don't grade Nick Caserio based on the wins and losses. And I know that that's not a very popular opinion, because what is a general manager supposed to do? General manager supposed to translate a team into winning football games. I get all of that. I said it whenever they hired DeMeco Ryans. I feel like when they hired DeMeco Ryans, it reset the clock on Nick Caserio. Because I don't think that the McNairs are going to grade Nick Caserio on David Culley, however David Culley was hired. I don't think they're going to grade Nick Caserio on really what was the same staff, except you had a different head coach in Lovie Smith. I don't think Caserio is going to be graded on that. In fact, you have Cal McNair talking about Nick Caserio's 2 years of doing that, saying how he put them in a good position, how he cleared out some bad contracts, how he got them in a good salary cap situation, how he acquired draft capital. So, in fact, the 2 years that we all think was so bad for Nick Caserio, and it was in terms of wins and losses, Cal's praising Nick Caserio for those 2 years. He also talks a lot about the alignment of DeMeco and Caserio. So that makes me think that you have GM, head coach aligned, and it's reset the clock on Nick. Now, if you have a season in which you don't win a ton of games, and then there's like, you know, some sort of conflict between DeMeco Ryans and Nick Caserio, they're going to choose DeMeco Ryans ahead of Nick Caserio, because DeMeco Ryans is a more popular figure, and he's fresher. He's newer. He's in year one versus Nick Caserio being in his third year. But I really do think this is almost like a new marriage completely, and they're going to view Nick Caserio from the DeMeco Ryans hire on. I would also say I don't really care about the wins next year. We know how I feel about that. If the Texans end up getting Bryce Young, and right now that's the odds-on favorite for the number two pick, if they get Bryce Young and they win five games next year, but they're showing promise, they're showing hope, yeah, they're showing signs of good things in the future, why are we going to blame Nick Caserio for going 5-12?
And like, also, things are the looking other thing, good. Though, is to your point, though, is to say that in the past – that Nick didn't have a different sense of bravado, and maybe he felt like he had to come in guns blazing and prove that he was the smartest voice in the room and the guy Taylor made for this job, and all the things when we came in and said, you know, he's using big words and he's talking, you know, like, you know, a mile a minute, trying to convince everybody that he's the right man for the job. Let's not kid ourselves and don't think that the McNairs had to sit down and somebody else, whether it be inside the organization that they was consulting or just the people that they have in those four walls. There was a come-to-Jesus meeting in those four walls that toned down a kinder, gentler Nick Caserio, because we saw the day that the coaching change happened and the fact that they had released Lovie. We saw a Nick that we had never seen before, and we were like, ooh, something's different. And then from that point on, he's maintained that, which is maybe to your point of now you've got a head coach, and it's similar to what we were talking about with the Rockets. Now you have a head coach that has as much or more respect with ownership than he does. And the fact that everybody in the room had to understand, we can do this as a team, but don't make me choose, because if I do, it's not going to be you.
Yeah. See, I had a different point of view with the Nick Caserio, the way he handled that press conference you're referring to. Now, both points of view were a softer Nick Caserio. But I heard more from Nick Caserio in that press conference. Not that, like, he was willing to resign. I know a lot of people had that saying, oh, my goodness, Nick Caserio is willing to resign if they hire Sean Payton. The way that I took that Nick Caserio sound and press conference was Nick Caserio was saying that not one person's bigger than the organization, that we're all spokes on the wheel. And you're right. That is a little bit more of a subtle Nick Caserio. It's a guy that doesn't worry about being the face of the franchise. I don't think Nick Caserio minds, though. I think Nick Caserio, and look, maybe he minded 2 years ago, but maybe now he's like in a different spot where he's like, you know what? I don't really want all of that publicity. I don't want to be the face of the franchise. I don't want to be the guy that everybody's asking questions to. Let's put that on DeMeco Ryans. But I viewed that Caserio more in that press conference was saying, look, I'm a spoke on the wheel. No one in this organization is bigger than the organization. But even that is a softer, more subtle Nick Caserio. But I think the reset button has been pushed on Nick Caserio's tenure, hot seat, job security with the Houston Texans. And as long as he doesn't make DeMeco Ryans mad, I think he's bulletproof for at least 2 years.
Well, that's fair. I think that, like I told you at the time, whether it was an outside consultant or they hired somebody or somebody inside has had the wherewithal to sit everybody down going, things have got to change here. The imaging and everything, every time Nick or anybody else is in front of a microphone, is a freaking disaster. But I think that there was a complete organizational overhaul internally. And whether you're right, I'm right, or somewhere in the middle, we both are kind of onto something. I think everybody was kind of put on notice. Things have to change, and the way we present ourselves every single time has to be different. And I think everybody got the memo.
Yeah, I did too. 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live. J-Bar M, ESPN 97.5. We'll be here until 7 o'clock. Swing on by. Say hello to us. So the Astros have stolen Reggie Jackson from the Yankees. They've taken Mark Wahlberg from the Red Sox. If you could choose any famous person to all of a sudden become an Astros fan, who would it be? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, it's a massive weekend for sports in the city of Houston, Texas. We know the Final Four is here, and we know all of March Madness will conclude right here in H-Town. We also know the Astros are now in the regular season, and the weekend series continues with the White Sox. If you want to make those games even more interesting and give you more reasons to cheer and yell and scream, why don't you go to mybookie.ag, because mybookie.ag takes care of all of the little things so you can worry about the big things, which is making money and making games more interesting. Just remember the promo code BET975. All you got to do right now with the special offer that they got going on is put some money in. Get into your account for your initial deposit. Go to mybookie.ag, and when they ask for a promo code, put in bet975. If you put bet975 in, you'll get more money in your account and more chances to win as you bet on games. Simply put, up to $1,000, they'll put 50% of what you put into your account in an extra bonus almost immediately into your account so you can use it to bet on games. You put $500 into your account, you're going to get an extra $250 that you'll have to spend by betting on games and predicting either winners, or you can do prop bets. Like if you know a certain player is going to go for a certain amount of threes or rebounds or steals or points, bet on that as a prop bet as well. You have a chance to cash in with mybookie.ag. And it's not just about basketball, although they do also have NBA on a nightly basis, NHL, XFL, golf, UFC. Pretty much you name the sport, and they've got a bet for you. But check them out by remembering that promo code, too, because you can cash in. It's all you need to know and more from the only place I tell you to go. What I always tell you to do is bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, and use that promo code BET975.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from J-Bar M Barbecue. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe caught me between bites of this sausage corn dog, which is fantastic. Hey. Andrew loves it. It's very, very good. J-Bar M food is elite. Every bite that I've had, they brought food to the station twice. First time being out here, but the brisket, elite. The pork ribs, elite. The sausage corn dog, elite. The pickled deviled eggs, elite. Very much looking forward to the 2 o'clock hour where they're going to bring out some buffalo wings. You're missing out, Blankers, but Andrew's very happy because he gets your portion.
That's fine. And I don't. First of all, I don't think he
don't
gets...
Don't be so bitter.
I'm not bitter. I have family concerns with children being sick. That is the only reason why I'm not there. But I also don't think that they have to worry because they lucked out too, because Andrew's only eating like boiled chicken. And I'm sure he'll go hyper-conservative. Oh, really?
Not today. No.
Wow.
Not today. No, his biceps are looking a little bigger today.
Oh.
Because of it. He's carb loading on this Friday afternoon. Carb loading, which is what you got to do on a Friday afternoon.
Joe was very pleased that he caught you with a sausage in your mouth, by the way. He chuckled at that.
You went there, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you said it. I didn't. I just watched I get to see the facial expressions of a guy that's a part-timer.
You repeated it.
I did. Yeah.
The Astros have stolen Reggie Jackson away from the New York Yankees. He's no longer the straw that stirs the drink in the Bronx. He's the straw that stirs the drink in the Astros front office. Houston Astro legend Reggie Jackson. Mark Wahlberg, I'm pretty sure that Mark Wahlberg is a Red Sox fan, being from Boston. I think he's from Southie, actually. Mark Wahlberg is a Red Sox fan. The Astros stole Reggie because he's Astro legend Reggie Jackson. Last time that the Yankees won an authentic, sincere, true championship, Reggie Jackson, Astro legend, was on that team. Mark Wahlberg, who's from Southie, who's from Boston, Mass., is now saying play ball for the Houston Astros and shouting out Alex Bregman. They're boys. Like, Alex Bregman might as well just be an extra Wahlberger brother. If you could choose any famous person to be a Houston Astro fan, who would it be?
Man, that's a great question, because you know that all
Travis Scott for me.
Oh, is it really? Yeah, because he claims to have been a ball boy for the Rockets, which I can't have never been able to validate. Boy, I'm thinking of like how about Jack Nicholson?
Huh.
I'm thinking like from a Rockets perspective, Jack Nicholson would be fun because he's always been the diehard Laker fan. And if you can
who's that dude who always goes to basketball games, like random basketball games, and is made of money? He's always courtside and always wears.
Jim Goldstein.
Who is that guy?
So Jimmy Goldstein is a guy that like got into real estate when L.A. was just being developed, and I think he bought some like parking garages, or he put up some parking garages and bought some land, and it all just blew up. And he's gotten to be like such a cult figure amongst NBA personnel that I remember like when the I think it was the first Dream Team, and then there were several other opportunities where the league said, hey, look, we got to crack down on security. No one's allowed in here without a press pass. And our old PR director with the Rockets, who's now head of PR for the NBA, Tim Frank, he turned around. He goes, how the hell did Jim Goldstein get in here? He goes, not that I'm mad because we know it's Jim, but how the hell does he get in here when I just got done saying no one without the utmost credential for the NBA can get into this press conference? And he was sitting in the second row with his legs crossed waiting to hear the press conference. Dude is like, he walks on water with the NBA and all that, but he made his money in the early old L.A. and now just reaps the benefits by going to – he goes to multiple playoff games in a day when he can.
Really?
Yeah. He's taken a private plane before where, yeah, he'll get on a private jet and he'll go like the afternoon game and then as quickly as possible hit either the West Coast time zone or the Central zone for a night game so he can catch at least two games in a day.
Didn't know what Andrew Carlson does. Doesn't he hop on a chopper to make Minute Maid Park like first pitch?
I thought it was the Cougs.
Both. He does the Cougs by afternoon, the Astros by night.
Joe does it for White Sox and Cubs only.
Yeah, from the north side to the south side.
Yep,
I did hear that.
Yep.
Which famous person would you choose to all of a sudden become an Astros fan? 713-780-3776. A lot of people are saying The Rock on the text line. I personally don't care like who roots for the Astros. I couldn't care less. I think it's a little different if you have a university, though, like because then you want a really rich person that can give you money and give you NILs and stuff like that. Like Mattress Mack has been great for the Cougars. A Daspit Law Firm's been great for the Cougars. Like, I think it matters more for college than it does professional, but it is still kind of cool, I guess. Maybe you can convert Marlin Man to Astro Man.
I got the ultimate answer to the question, Jeremy. It's Rob ultimate. Manfred.
No.
If you could make Rob Manfred an Astros fan so he could actually change all the BS and the propaganda that he's put out there over the years to actually understand and at least somewhat support one of his franchises and give some love to the Astros, I think that would be fantastic.
No, I want nothing to do with Robert Manfred. I never want to be associated with that fraud. Keep Robert Manfred as far away from the Astros as possible, especially now in hindsight. Let's go out to the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Graham, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Graham?
Hey, guys. You know, I lived in Chicago for 6 years, and I think Cubs fans are the most annoying people on the planet. I would say either Jeff Goldblum or Eddie Vedder from the Cubs.
I didn't know that
Jeff Goldblum or Eddie Vedder.
Cubs fan. I knew Eddie Vedder was.
Who was the guy? Who was the Cub fan that got into an argument with one of the Barstool guys, like out on the streets of Wrigleyville, and they almost got into a fight?
I don't think
it was Eddie Vedder, and I know it wasn't Jeff Goldblum.
The most famous Cub fan is Bill Murray, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Bill Murray's definitely the most famous. I'm trying to remember who it was because it's not a Cubs fan.
You remember that, though? They got into a fight.
But it was with White Sox Dave because I got to remember.
He said he was like a fake fan.
He is a fake fan. The guy that like he was at a Sox game, but then he was in the Cubs parade.
2128, yeah, I forget who it was, but I remember that vividly. 2128 says Kate Upton for obvious reasons. I imagine those obvious reasons are because Justin Verlander would be on your team, although Justin Verlander might not pitch while he's on your team because he's on the injured list again.
Was it John Cusack?
Yes.
I think it was John Cusack, yeah.
Yeah, Cusack like goes to like the game, like he'll go to a White Sox game, then he'll go to a Cubs game. He'll wear the gear.
He's from Chicago.
He's a Chicago guy.
Yeah, that's not how this works. You can't be a bandwagon.
That's what you do.
That's fake news.
Joe, who did you draft first in our MLB draft yesterday? The White Sox or the Cubs?
The White Sox.
I rest my case.
That's not fair.
I rest my case. No further questions, Your Honor.
No,
he will not be available for cross-examination.
This was a competition to who was most likely to win the division. I think the White Sox have a better chance than the Cubs.
John Cusack starred in Grosse Pointe Blank. Just
ABC Eric says Killer Bees would be his pick.
Oh, because you're not an Astros fan. That's right.
Actually, he says Killer Bees, my pick for a fan, would have to be the lovely Sandra Bullock. That's a weird pick,
it is,
right?
It's very weird.
ABC Eric has a type, I guess. 713-780-ESPN. You can pick any fan, any person, any famous person to be a supporter of the Astros, because Mark Wahlberg is a converted Astro fan thanks to Alex Bregman. Reggie Jackson is now a Houston Astro legend, not a New York Yankee legend. What famous person would you want to support the Astros? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from J Bar M and Edo. Spot to be on a Friday afternoon. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from J Bar M Barbecue. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You can pick a famous person to become an Astro fan. Who is it? 713-780-ESPN. The Astros have already converted Reggie Jackson. He's no longer a Yankee legend. He is now an Astro legend. Mark Wahlberg, a huge Boston guy. He is a converted Astro thanks to Alex Bregman for whatever reason. Maybe it's because they're both in the food industry. Bregman with his bad salsa and Mark Wahlberg with his overrated burgers. Just saying. 713-780-ESPN. Before we talk about the celebrities, though, let's go out to John. John's got a rule change question for us. John, you're in the HRP listener. You're in the HRP listener line. You're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, John?
Yeah, I wanted to talk the new bases, but first, my celebrity would probably be Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader. So maybe he'll stop sending us viruses.
Okay. It was good having you on the airways there, John. You didn't quite make it to your bigger bases. I thought it was going to be a controversial take about bigger bases or the pitch clock, how controversial it was going to be with that. And instead, you go with that. More controversy than anything that could be going on in baseball. Nice try, though, John. Come hang out with us at J Bar M and Edo, though. I'll buy you a beer. 713-780-3776. Someone texting in saying, whoever is a Dodger fan, convert them over to be a Houston Astro fan. Most of the Dodger fans, though, are fake Dodger fans. Like Jason Bateman is a Dodger fan. Larry David is a Dodger fan for some reason, even though he's like a New Yorker for his entire life. Most of those Dodger fans are Dodger fans more because of like the vanity of being a Dodger fan.
Yeah, Joe and I were having this conversation. He did a Google search. We were trying to figure out like biggest, because the weird thing is the Dodgers hate the Astros, but the Dodgers really aren't like from... Was it John Turturro and John Boy and, you know, all the different people that are so outspoken about the Astros hate? I don't know that they're – who's the most famous Dodger fan? Mary Hart or
most famous Dodger fan? I mean, Jason Bateman's pretty famous. Larry David's pretty famous.
Yeah. Magic Johnson, but he's also part owner.
Used to be. I don't think he is anymore, right?
No, I think he still has a stake in the Dodgers.
Oh, really? He's not nearly as like a focal point as he used to be.
Though. Right.
Remember, he used to be everywhere, and
well, now
he's not. That's why I assumed he was
not. Yeah, I think it might be gone, because I think he had to give it up with the Lakers job.
No, he's no longer with the Lakers in a vice president's position.
I know he's part of the Commanders.
Yeah, he's part of the group trying to buy the Commanders. But I didn't.
You can own more than, you know, you can own a sport. You can own a team in different sports.
Yeah, he had part ownership both ways. He had Lakers and Dodgers to some degree. He had a job with the Lakers and part ownership with the Dodgers for sure. Jay-Z had to give it up when he started the sports agency, because you cannot be an agent and be in ownership. But Magic Johnson, I guess, would be up there. But I don't think that it kind of has the same cachet. If you say all of a sudden he's an Astros fan, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Shout out to – go ahead.
I'm just trying to think, like, who is the most – visible, especially in Hollywood, is there anybody that's an outspoken Dodger fan?
I just named a couple.
Yeah, but Larry David and Jason Bateman, I don't think are very. I guess maybe they're A-list celebrities. I don't see
Jason Bateman's an A-list celebrity. He's in Ozark. He's got a very popular podcast called Smartless. Jason Bateman's A-list for sure.
Okay, he also doesn't come across as a guy that's going to stir it up or be vocal about anything. I think Lance.
What are you talking about? He upsets the Mexican drug cartels all the time.
Lance says he goes to bed by like 8 o'clock. He had that Lance's buddy, who's in acting, said that like he used to dread even having any
night
kind of
shoots.
Any shoots at night. Yeah,
yeah. He does. He says that in his podcast too. Larry David got a dude let off of jail, let off of a murder conviction because of his show.
That means he must be pretty big.
Shout out to Jacob, by the way, who stopped by JBRM to say hello to Andrew Carlson and admire him in person.
That's cool.
Thanks for saying hello, Jacob. 8769 says Aaron Judge or Derek Jeter just because. Judge is still playing baseball. Derek Jeter would be interesting.
Yeah, it would.
Alex Bregman yesterday in that mic'd up thing was talking about how Derek Jeter was his first favorite baseball player.
You don't remember that? Like, I remember the story he told the Astros. That was a big deal when his mom was at that actual game. And I believe he always said the twofold reason why he wears number two was, one, because he wasn't taken number one overall in the draft, and also because Jeter was always his favorite player.
Yeah, so he's a Derek Jeter guy. The Astros already have one former Yankee legend. Why not add another former Yankee legend? A lot of people are saying Spike Lee. I don't know if I want Spike Lee, though, because you're going to have like an opposing player hit a home run in a big spot and then look back at Spike Lee and give the joke gesture. Like, Spike Lee's never really won anything as a fan.
You know what? I'll tell you one that I think would carry some clout, because Spike Lee, I don't think, has the clout he once had. I think it's Charles Barkley. I think a guy like Charles Barkley, that's just so popular right now in the media, that's still very, very relevant as in terms of the job that he does, that has a ton of following because he says and does whatever, you know, he personally feels. I believe if Charles Barkley came out and he was a massive Astros fan and started really supporting the Astros, and I've had him on the show before where he said that, you know, he supported the Astros and Jose Altuve, but I think Charles Barkley would be a guy that would be interesting because I think that would draw a lot of reaction, but I think that would be pretty cool.
I wouldn't mind Charles Barkley to do some color commentary on ESPN for baseball. Like, you know how they had Roger Clemens there yesterday, which I think Clemens would be fine with some reps. You can tell he's a little green. Didn't know what a Texas leaguer was, but that's beside the point. Wouldn't it be hilarious if Charles Barkley just did some, like, random color commentary for baseball?
He makes no bones about it. He follows all sports, and he bets on most sports. So he has a knowledge of all sports. I think because of his personality, because he's got that ex-player experiences, and he knows a lot of the guys in the game, I think it'd be awesome. I think that whenever you can put him in front of a microphone for our entertainment, I think you could do a lot worse than having Charles involved.
Yeah, I think he would be hilarious. Keith on Twitter says, rest in peace, Larry King. Larry King was a huge Dodger fan.
Well, that's why I said Mary Hart, because Larry King and Mary Hart have season tickets, or had season tickets, next to each other right behind the dish in Chavez Ravine.
I thought you were just saying your first celebrity crush.
No, that's not true.
Not Santa says, was Larry David born in Brooklyn and saw the Dodgers play at Ebbets Field? Probably. He is very old. That Larry David.
Pretty old.
It was funny the first time. Adam says Elon
Judge
Musk.
And jury.
Adam says Elon Musk would be a good supporter to have for the Houston Astros.
Like, would he? He's not a very popular guy.
He owns Twitter, though. Maybe you could control the narrative.
Well, he's hijacked it enough as it is. He could hijack it and force feed everybody Astros highlights.
I think I'm losing my blue check mark tomorrow, by the way.
You are.
Is that right?
Yeah,
like
gone.
All of the legacy blue check marks are losing their blue check mark tomorrow?
Yep.
I think LeBron tweeted that he ain't paying the money, so he ain't in for all that, so he's going to lose his.
Cool. That's the first time I'm interested in anything LeBron James has to say.
Mm.
I'm sad.
Are you going to pay for it?
I'm not going to pay for it. I think it's stupid to pay for it, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed that I'm losing the blue check mark. It gives me credibility. It gives me validity that I'm no longer going to have. I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to look at myself in the mirror in the morning, knowing that I no longer have a blue check mark on Twitter.
How'd you get it?
That's soft.
Because I'm a certified account. I'm somebody that is very popular, is loved by many, and that's how I got a blue check mark.
Okay.
How do you get blue? How does one get blue check marks?
I don't know. All I know is that everyone at some random time from the flagship all of a sudden got blue check marks.
Well, how do they normally give out those blue check marks?
You know the right people.
What has to happen?
You know the right people.
You're a popular person that can be certified that it's really you.
I think, Joe, the first time you were here, I want to say, I forget who it was, but there was a couple people on staff that were really adamant about getting the blue check mark, and they were like, no stone left unturned, and if you knew the right people, that you could expedite the process, and everybody was trying to do it for a while. But I think that there was a way to kind of get through some of the red tape, but I'm not sure.
Garrett Heinrich gave it to me.
Who's that?
He knew somebody at Twitter, and that was the connection that you're referring to, Joe George.
Is that how Josh Beard got it too? Because that's what I was thinking.
Josh Beard has a blue check mark?
Yeah.
They should have gotten rid of blue check marks a long time ago.
He got it when he was Paul Glass producer, like at night. And I was just like, how do you have one? Like,
yeah, Garrett had a hookup over at Twitter. He got anybody at the Highway to Hell blue check mark. Because I was like a peon filling
well,
guy.
There you go. There's
that, like, occasionally covered the Texans, and I had a blue check mark with like 300 followers. It was really weird. I was like, this doesn't really fit on me. But it does now, and I'm sad that I'm losing it. 1509, Snoop is a huge Dodger fan, so let's get him in the Astros orange. Snoop Dogg would be pretty cool. Not only to convert him from being a Dodger fan, but Snoop has like a certain amount of clout. Like, he's got some cachet. He's got some, you know, he's got a lot of popularity. I wouldn't mind Snoop Dogg as an Astro
fan. He also has a certain phrase that we found out, a certain anchor found out the hard way, you don't say on the air.
S-N-double-O-P-D-O-double-G-Z?
Nope.
You said it on the air the other day.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Well, I'm just saying that was ridiculous, by the way. That lady should not have lost her job.
I agree with that. And you didn't lose your job, so I see justice has prevailed.
Yes.
2064.
I don't believe I said it on the air either, by the way. I said it during a commercial break to you.
I don't remember.
I think Joel's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we air live on Twitch during our commercials?
Sometimes.
No, God bless the fact that day Joe was running commercials, because I found out after the fact.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You were able to dodge the bullet there?
Yes.
Well, I agree with you, though. 2064, Danny DeVito would be interesting. Danny DeVito's hilarious, but what does he bring to you from a fan point of view?
A Jersey Mike sub. That's all I know him for anymore. I think a lot of people just know him from a commercial now. They don't know any other Danny DeVito.
Always Sunny. Like, he was in Sonny. Like, the fact that he was in Sonny, I think, added 20 years to Danny DeVito's prominence.
I guarantee you most people aren't saying Taxi.
Did you know Danny DeVito was married to the bartender from Cheers?
Yes, Carla.
I didn't realize that until the other day.
Yeah, not anymore. I think they got divorced. Rhea Perlman.
I don't think so.
I think they eventually got divorced, but yeah, they were married for a long, long time.
I saw them next to each other at some awards ceremony.
Oh, really?
The other day.
Well, maybe. Well, they could still be good friends.
4624, I would pick Will Ferrell to be an Astro fan. He's a Cubs fan, right? Maybe I think that because
he's
he plays
a big
here
USC
on
fan.
Live.
I know college wise, he's a Trojan.
He's there a lot.
But I don't know if he's a Cub fan. Yeah. What's his name? The other guy that played in the movie with Jennifer Aniston.
Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn's
a big Cubs fan.
I would take Vince Vaughn.
Yep.
He's a great fan.
What makes him so? Because you've seen him in a White Sox gear, or
no?
What?
He's just fun. Like he would always do the seventh inning stretch. I like Vince Vaughn. He cares about his teams. He's passionate. He seems knowledgeable.
Someone said Rehill. He does a great job for the what's the Roughnecks or not the Roughnecks?
No,
the
SaberCats.
The SaberCats.
Well,
I wrote on an airplane.
Too. Oh, that too. Yeah, he does both of them.
I wrote an airplane like in the SaberCat like section of a commercial flight. Didn't have a lot of space between that. All right, 713-780-3776. You can continue to send these in. Which huge celebrity, famous person would you like to be an Astros fan in honor of Mark Wahlberg being an Astros fan thanks to Alex Bregman and gave up the Red Sox? 713-780-3776. We've been making mock drafts great again on the Killer Bees. We've been looking at these mocks from around the football world, having some fun with them, making them great again. Today's mock draft comes from Cynthia Freeland of NFL.com, and she has a little different spin on how she uses her mock drafts or how she puts together her mock drafts. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Jay Bar M in Edo on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that I love in my life, especially on a Friday night, is some Gentle Ben. I saw a lot of people talking about Gentle Ben yesterday, too. It was basically going viral on Twitter, blue check mark or not, because the Gentle Ben bar at Minute Maid Park was seen by everybody, seen by the public, seen by the 42,000 that were at Minute Maid Park yesterday. We know about Gentle Ben, the vodka, the gin, the bourbon. I love them all. They use their state-of-the-art, innovative Prosecco craft technology that makes them better in purity, aroma, and taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben, unrivaled. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand, you're going to taste a huge difference. Same difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, had me out to that tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought. And ever since that day, I've been a Gentle Bend man. Ask anybody. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Enjoy your drink. Don't work through your drink. What's the point of having a drink if you don't like it? You can find Gentle Bend vodka, gin, and bourbon at Total Wine, Specs, many of the local liquor stores. Pick up a bottle on your way home. Order it online at gentlebend.com or stop by the tasting room in Alvin this weekend and pick up some Gentle Bend there as well. Or, as 42,000 people at Minute Maid Park yesterday saw the Gentle Bend Bar inside of Minute Maid Park, stop by, have some Gentle Bend inside the Gentle Bend Bar inside of Minute Maid Park. It's right behind the Crawford boxes, right when you walk in from Union Station. As you're walking into your seat to watch some Astro baseball, get a drink from the Gentle Bend Bar right there next to Union Station in the Crawford boxes. Sit back with good company and raise a glass at the very best, Gentle Bend.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from J-Bar M Barbecue. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's give away some tickets to see John Mayer. He's full of great songs, banger after banger. And John Mayer just announced his North American 2023 tour, and he's making a stop in Houston. Join John Mayer at the Toyota Center Monday, October 30th, for a one-of-a-kind show. Caller number 10 right now to 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to see the show. See John Mayer. If you're not lucky number 10, caller number 10. Tickets are on sale today at LiveNation.com. You got to get out there and see John Mayer. Does a great job. Tickets on sale at LiveNation.com. All right, we've been making mock drafts great again with the Killer Bees. Everybody's been talking tons of mock drafts between now and April 27th, first round of the NFL draft. And we like to put a little special wrinkle on it. We try to make them great again. Today's mock draft, Blankers, comes from Cynthia Freeland. And here is the uniqueness of the way that she puts together her mock drafts, which she used to come on the show back when we had Brendan. Haven't had her since Joe George came along. But anyway, Cynthia puts these mock drafts together, and she has like some sort of computer model that she says she does it differently from the traditional method, and that her team prospect pairings are based on optimizing wins for the upcoming season only. So her mock draft has a little bit more win now to it, which it doesn't really vary a whole lot looking through her mock, but just keep that in mind, that it's more win now than the big picture, than the long term. It's which players that are drafted add the most wins to a team this season coming up. But it doesn't really look a whole lot different. Carolina, at number one, has C.J. Stroud coming off the board, which is right now the betting favorite, pretty substantial betting favorite, to be the number one pick of the NFL draft coming up on April 27th, a little less than a month away. So the Houston Texans are on the clock at number two. I think if you polled this city and you told everybody that C.J. Stroud's off the board at number one, who would you want? I think over 90% would say they want Bryce Young. Well, Cynthia drafts Bryce Young for the Houston Texans. Bryce Young is your quarterback, according to Cynthia Freeland. Number three, Will Anderson comes off the board at number three. There is a quarterback off the board at number four, and I think it's probably the most popular third quarterback currently, Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson's the pick at four. Tyree Wilson, the Texas Tech edge rusher, goes to Seattle at five. Jalen Carter at seven to the Raiders, even though the Raiders said that they're off their board, even though Josh McDaniels has said that that isn't necessarily the case. And then Will Levis goes number eight to Atlanta. So four quarterbacks are taken in the top eight. Lucas Van Ness is a popular name around at least our show. He's off the board at number 10, doesn't make it to the Houston Texans. So 12, 13, 14, 15. We've been playing the multiple choice. You get to put yourself in Nick Caserio's shoes. Who are you picking at number 12, considering who's already gone at number 2? In this case, we know Bryce Young is a Houston Texan. Freeland has the Texans at number 12, selecting Miles Murphy, the defensive end from Clemson. Number 13 to the Jets, it's Paris Johnson, the tackle from Ohio State. 14 to the Patriots, Devin Witherspoon, the corner from Illinois. And then 15, Green Bay, selecting JSN. Jackson Smith and Jigba, the receiver from Ohio State. So this one we got a little bit more options than like Tannenbaum's mock, which I thought was the worst multiple choice that we could possibly have. This one you have some options. You can go defensive end with Murphy. You can go offensive line with Johnson, which hasn't been popular with us. You can go corner here with Witherspoon to pair with Derek Stingley, or you can give Bryce Young, because he was the pick at number two, a target, a receiver, and go with JSN. Blankers, age before beauty, you're Nick Caserio. Which of these four are you picking?
I mean, look, it comes down to two for me, but I'm going to have to, at the end of the day, stay with the consistency I've been all along. But I think it becomes a two two-person race between Murphy and JSN, and I think that I have been consistent in saying that if you're going to go quarterback at two, you should go wide receiver or offensive weapon at 12, and therefore I'll take JSN and say, look, if the consensus starts to come around that he is the best of all of the receivers, that he has the highest ceiling and or the most potential to be a really dominant-type wide receiver, whether you call him wide receiver one or not, then that's the way I'm going to stay, and I'm going to go with the receiver over the defensive pass rusher.
All right, there you go. So JSN, a Houston Texan, paired with the Bryce Young, which gives you a pretty young and fun offense. Like, you would have Bryce Young, you would have the receivers of JSN. If John Metchie comes back, you've added a pretty good tight end, Dalton Schultz, in the second year of Damian Pierce, with an offensive line that should be pretty good. So that is a fun, entertaining offense. Joe, who are you taking in this multiple choice at number 12?
All right, this one's interesting because we haven't really talked about corner much. I'm still going to stick with JSN, but I do really like Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez. I know Gonzalez doesn't fall into this category for today, but I kind of get the idea of why they would
go to
draft. Why they would draft a corner at 12 if they don't love the pass rushers or the wide receivers. So I'll go JSN, but I do think Devin Witherspoon's an interesting name if he's there for the Texans.
I want to avoid corner in the first round, much like I want to avoid interior offensive lineman in the first round, mostly because you did that last year. And that might not be the smartest way to go about it, but if you invested a pick in the teens last year for Kenyon Green, I don't want to sit there and use a number 12 pick on an interior offensive lineman again. Same thing with Derek Stingley. Like, if I'm drafting Derek Stingley at 3, I don't want the very next year to be drafting a corner at number 12. And I understand, well, you get both sides of the field locked down. But there's also ways to, you know, come out defensively and play defensively where Derek Stingley's on one half of the field, and then you kind of, you know, use your defense, shadow, like bracket coverage, things like that to cut down the other receiver, to slow down that other receiver as well. So I don't love that much draft capital on both corners. Stingley last year at 3, and then this year at number 12. So I almost eliminate any offensive lineman. I almost eliminate any cornerback any time that they're an option at number 12. To me, it comes down to defensive end or receiver. I've been pretty vocal and adamant that I don't think that there's a single receiver in this draft that is worthy of the number 12 pick. I'm not drafting a receiver at number 12. If you're just pot committed and destined to draft the receiver, then you need to be trading down and drafting whoever's there at 20 and adding some draft capital. And I've also been adamant that I want to leave this first round with a quarterback and a defensive end. So if I'm getting Bryce Young at number 2, great. I got Bryce Young at number 2. I'm going to figure out how to give him weapons later in this draft, which I love the second-round receivers. I think there's good third-round receivers, and I think there's a lot of good running backs that you can get day three in this draft as well. You're not going to get as good at a defensive end at number 30, the second pick of the second round. So I'm going Miles Murphy. Give me the Clemson defensive end. Give D'Amico Ryans a weapon. Give D'Amico Ryans a chance to try to improve this defense with a really good standout defensive player. I'm getting Bryce Young for my offense. I'm getting Miles Murphy for my defense, and I'm making D'Amico Ryans happy.
Do you not think that there's any chance JSN could develop into, like I said, you don't have to call him wide receiver one, but like a dominant wide receiver and maybe distance himself from the on a different tier than the rest of the receivers in this draft?
My favorite receiver is Zay Flowers. So I love Zay Flowers a lot. So it's hard for me to go all in with that idea that JSN is going to be the best receiver in this draft and, you know, make himself by far the best receiver in this draft, because I think Miles Murphy has a chance to be a really good defensive end. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba has a chance to be a really good wide receiver. No,
I only ask that because I know that we've talked about the fact that there is an abundance of wide receivers in this draft, and it seems like they're all kind of muddled up on the same tier. But you do hear a lot of people talking about the fact that based on what he did coming into this draft and the fact that, you know, the last game that we saw him play, he was pretty dominant, that everybody was saying that this guy has a chance to maybe have a higher ceiling than the rest of them. That's why I asked you the question.
I personally don't. I think he could be a really good receiver. I also think that the fact that you have John Metchie coming back, and you know, I think both of them are better inside guys than they are outside guys, there are those ways you can scheme that up as well. But I'm not drafting a dude at number 12 where I immediately have to figure out a way to scheme them up both together. Like, I want to draft a player and then immediately put him at his strength. And right now, if you draft Jackson Smith and Jigba, his strength, I think, is more inside. John Metchie's strength is more inside. I don't want to – it's not a problem. It's not a problem having both of those guys, but now you're asking your offensive coordinator to get creative. Like, figure out a way to make it work. And I think 12 is too high of a pick. It's too premium of a pick to be worrying about that. I also think that whoever you get, you can go receiver with the second pick of the second round. I think you can get some really good receivers in the third round of this draft as well, where I don't think you're going to get that quality of a defensive end in the second or in the third round. Like, if you're telling me I have to get receiver defensive end between 12 and then my first pick in the second round, it's way better to go defensive end receiver than receiver defensive end.
But it also goes to the conversation we've been having that I could, as long as they get an early pick on a receiver, I could see them trading up into the later stages of the first round to get the receiver, and then we're both appeased with what we want. You get your pass rusher that's a higher quality pass rusher, higher in the first round, and then you trade up into the back stages of the first round to get a receiver that adds to your receiver room and gives Bryce Young another weapon to work with. Because, I mean, when you said that, I was like, I'm very enticed by the fact that if you could put an offensive unit with those guys in skill positions, I'd be pretty excited to watch that team play.
But they're trading up for the receiver. Wouldn't you be more likely to draft the defensive end at 12 then?
That's what I'm saying. No, that's exactly what I'm saying. So then you take your defensive player at 12, and then as long as you consider trading back up into the late stages of the first round to get the receiver so that you get your pick of however many are still left on the board when you're looking to get back in, and maybe a guy that you've had your eye on, maybe it's not JSN, but maybe it's a Jordan Addison, or it's someone that you like a whole lot, I wouldn't have any problem with them trading into the late stages of the first round to get the receiver.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're live at J Bar M, great spot to ditch work early coming out here. Got the bunch of the fan fest going on for the Final Four just down the road at the George R. Brown Convention Center. This is the perfect pregame spot. And then Astros and White Sox, game two of 162. Normal first pitch today just after 7 o'clock. This is the pregame spot to come hang out before you take in some Astro baseball. It's everybody's favorite game. Who said it? Joe George reads to us things that were said by ESPN 97.5 personalities, and the Killer Bees have to guess who said it. Who said it with the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One of the best things that I love to talk about is the goals from Pro Dunk. They are fantastic. They make the highest quality basketball goals that you'll find, unlike anything else that you'll find in the big box stores. In fact, you can't find them in the big box stores. That's what sets Pro Dunk apart, is that their highest quality basketball goals are far better than their competition, far superior than their competition. Why, you're asking? Well, they have a tempered glass backboard. Gives you a true, authentic feel when you're laying off a basketball goal off the glass. Or whenever you miss a shot, it gives you a true, authentic feel that you can find in the pro or college arenas. Breakaway rim, too. You're like, well, what do you need a breakaway rim for? Well, adjustable goals. You can lower it all the way down to 5 feet, raise it all the way up to 10 feet, throw down some jams, or work on your shot. Their accessories are next level. Look, it gets a little warm in Houston. We know that. So you might want to play after the sun goes down, when you're off work, where the kids are off school. So LED light kits for night play. A backstop net as well. You don't have to chase the basketball goal all around. And pole pad lettering as well, and lots more. You can order everything, including professional installation online. That's the best part about it. The pros at ProDunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at ProDunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.